Thank you very much for the invitation to the public speaking. On this Wednesday afternoon, if you have been in Technology Park, and maybe you were there, you might have thought about Princess Royal and her visit to Plant Cheese to celebrate 100 years of the Carnegie UK Trust. When Sherwin hasn't been short of royal visitors, with a passing through on short-term visits, residing at the palace, or choosing the Abbey as their last resting place. When I was invited to present a paper to you today, I was asked to speak about being sick, child birth, which is in Cromwell. And these will be included to varying degrees as they made a mark of the space of the
Abbey initiated
beside their gardens, orchards, meadows belonging to the palace. He watched at Master John Gibside, one of the grooms of His Majesty's bedchamber. He was entertained by Master Triton at his own height, and it was Triton who acted as to this day when he was in the house. The playwright Ben Jonson also visited Dunfermline in 1618. When you serialise this issue of History of Scotland, you'll know of the Ben Jonson's Walk to Scotland project, which is currently running at the University of Edinburgh. And that will produce an edition of Jonson's 1618 journey by foot from London to Scotland, as recorded in a manuscript that was discovered fairly recently by Professor James Lockwood. On the visit in 1618, Jonson and his companion were made burgesses in Dunfermline. And this is something that the researchers on that project actually wanted to find out who their companion was, because the companion isn't named at all. But frustratingly for Dunfermline, records don't exist for 1618, so we still don't know the name of the companion. If any of you do know, then please get in touch with us. These journeys followed on from James VI's own tour of Scotland, of course, in 1617. The King has visited Dunfermline in May and again in June. And like the royal visit, included trips to George VI's coal mines and salt pan at Cowes. Again, another local tourist attraction. Royal interest in the Seaton hat es mir vorhin die prächtige Theorie entschlüsselt, aber die ganze Verstellung. Und konnte so auf die Bürger kaufen in 1696. Der Bischof Chancellor in 1604 und der Gate in 1622. Und später der Erlöser Verstellung in March 1605. He bought the tutor to Charles I, descending to encounter him just by his own ceremony, following the departure of his parents to London, when James had acceded to the English throne. Peter had lived at Rome, Paris, and Orleans. As the examiner has shown, he held no process values, trying to lead a life of learning and moderation based on reason. This reasonable approach came to the fore in 1614, during the trial of George Johnson, the witch trap. She had come to the attention of the Secretary of Dalkeith. After an appeal to the City Council, it was determined that she fell under the jurisdiction of the legality of the ceremony. And as Richard has indicated already, the ceremony land extended a thousand of force as well. Even as Lord Chancellor, the failure of legality, he barred the Dalkeith testimony from presenting evidence and ensured that hostile female witnesses were not permitted to testify against Keller in the case of his fault. The study of witchcraft in Scotland, an indispensable resource to the learning of Scottish witchcraft, was completed about 10 years ago at the University of Edinburgh, which advanced and built on previous work by Christina Larner and others. The survey records almost 4,000 people accused, including some groups, so the number is not quite tonight. Found that 32% of cases were taken in the audience, 14% in Trust Clyde in the West, and 12% in Fife in the period 1563 until 1736. For the Vernon Secretary, the database contains 156 records of accused people. That number covers the parishes of Ponyburn, Inverkeithing, Aberdare, Curus, Lundvermon, and Dalgetty. For the Vernon parish alone, the number of accused is 33, including 2 men. Most of the Dunvermon cases relate to 3 years, 1628, 1643, and 1649. The latter should date coinciding with peaks of persecution in other areas of Scotland. Generally, the procedure was accusations to be dealt with by perception, but the perception of presidency began to push in Parliament, Council, or Canadian State, to appoint commissioners to try the suspects and be responsible for burning them. So the way the trial process worked was a partnership between church and state. In 1643, in May, July and August, 6 women were burned for being accused of witches. They were Morris, Margaret Grant, Catherine Elder, Agnes Kirk, Margaret Donaldson, and Isabel Miller. I think it's worthwhile just naming them because this is probably the only time people like that appear in the record. Donald Fenton died in prison in June 1643. Her body is carted to the witch now. I'll come back to that later, that name, and put into a hole without a coffin. Also that month, David Christie and his sister Margaret were fined because they had struck a church official in a church porch and were visiting their mother, that he was imprisoned for witchcraft. In August 1643, Isabel Marr hanged herself after being accused of being a witch and being incarcerated. Fleet deprivation was one method used to extract confession from alleged witches. The case of Margaret Donaldson in Vermont, who had been accused by some witches in Tollyburn, the court session made payment to James Boone in North Queensbury of 30 shillings and the four watchers of Margaret for 5 days and 5 nights, 2 on watch at a time, a total of 6 times. The victim got fined, that incarcerated witches constantly wait and watch, and that they dealt with as others in the like case are in other parishes. In 1648, the Dunfermline Secretary carried out an illegal execution of the alleged warlock William Triton, who had confessed to having been attacked to death for being a warlock for in these places. The ant man touched him in Milburn to load him and cursed her, which he refused. After this, he had become very ill, and so that was why there was then an accusation of witchcraft. The same day, the fight of confession was burned, but no commission had been sought in his case in the legality. Not all the information that he was on the mind, we have brought to position on behalf of wife Margaret Phillips, the first session of experiment. But she, who was so long being detained in wards and under suspicion of witchcraft, was serving for Lord Ayler that she be proved guilty of stealing that time. But she was kept there for a long time, she was starving, and just wanted to know when the other was going to be guilty of this. She was free on occasion and banished from the parish. And the thing gets 1649, partly issued the last resource, revealing with all the people that they started to get in prison. And in 1649, it says that she went to fire petition Parliament, albeit without success, in hope that they could be granted the right to try any subject without having to get injured in the commission for them. And I quote, it says that she finding a great and daily discovery of witches in their bounds, as likely the commission for putting up them to an aside cannot be obtained without great charge and attendance, have therefore resolved to petition the High and Honourable Court of Parliament the way of facilitating their commission as the Lordship shall think fit. There are several witches in German and everything in time. The other servant sticks in the first edition map, making from 1856, named Witch Now, Witch Dove, Witch Loan, and Witch Tool towards Town Hill near Galvin's Bank, and there's a modern street named Witch Bay. There's also a Witch Now about a kilometre north of Carling Nose in Bristol Parish. A Carling Nose meaning old women, or witches' nose, or old women, or witches' pillars as the plural of now, the hill. St Andrews is the Glenner Parish, a witch hill recorded in the 1660s, and a witch lake in 1855. So in Abbey Parish, which is a small walk in a hollow in Senior Hill, is the rendezvous of witches according to tradition in 1865. And there's many other examples around Scotland. On the same project that I'm working on just now, I've been finding some in Worthington in Berwickshire. The earliest reference to a number of names like these are from the mid-19th century and can't necessarily be associated with events of 200 years or so before. But it's notable that the reference to the witch now in Sherman, which I mentioned in the earlier reference of 1643, that it can be found in early 1620, when the council orders that the mire at the back of the witch now is caved and the stone is taken to it for that purpose. She came to provide clues, the event that took place there in the past, but that they were coined shortly afterwards, having more modern times. If you know the area around the Treaty Castle, what's seen as names like the Queen Gate, the Queen Place, the John Brown Place, Overton Court, and Covent Anchor's Drive. Now, I need to wait the Battle of the Treaty, also known as the Battle of the Treaty. Which the Wellington troops, under the leadership of Colonel Overton and Major General Lambert, had a decisive victory over troops led by Colburn and Sir John Brown on the side of Covenanters. The Scottish Covenanting forces included local militia from Dunfermline and about 800 Macleans who had been sent from Perth by Charles II. Yes, Charles had gone to Perth after signing the Dunfermline Declaration in 1650, by which he renounced popery and fealty and declared that he had no enemies but enemies of the covenant and no friends but friends of the covenant. And so he sent his claims down south of Perth. And at the treaty, and today we've got this monument which was erected in 2001 by the Family Heritage Trust. Because amongst all the great slaughter, most of the Macleans were killed. for them firmly that they immediate effect of the battle, aside from loss of men, is the occupation of the borough by King William and troops. All the money of the Kirk's boxes has been plundered and taken away. The Kirk arranged for repairs, but the following week had no money left to pay the right. The following month, there was no session in the Kingdom of the troops that were quartered. Over time, though, some of the infirmary inhabitants seemed to have got used to having the troops around. In April 1654, William Mackay had called before the Kirk session for casting and cutting stones with English soldiers in the churchyard and the infirmary. While Christian Thompson and the New Rock were selling drinks to the English on the Sabbath in the infirmary. On the other hand, in 1654, the minister Robert McKay was imprisoned for a while in his Derby and was even found trained for King Charles II. The years of the Cromwellian occupation followed on from previous years of uncertainty and military matters affecting the infirmary in the Covenantal era. Records of the infirmary in 1639 and through the 1640s contain many references to the defence of the borough and its inhabitants, as well as raising money for the defending soldiers. For example, in 29 April 1639, an act was concerned to elect the Stent Masters for the same charges that had already been given to the soldiers who had gone to the North of Aberdeen and the boats were to go south. In early May 1639, Proverbs, which had been propelled not only for his death in 1598, but in the burial of his church in New Ferguson, and you can see the memorial in the Abbey churchyard. Finally, one concern of this event links a number of the topics I've been looking at is Mr. Joseph Neil Payton. He died in 1874. A weaver, printer, pattern designer, he was also an antiquarian, citing a museum of antiquities in Newark Valley. Payton was the father of Joseph Neil Payton, royal builder and artist. Walworth Hugh Payton, also an artist, and Amelia Robertson Hill, a sculptor, who was the second wife of the early photographer and artist, David Payton Hill. I think the family which would be worth for their studies even firmly. In 1878, there was a sale of Payton's museum and books, and the sale catalogue lists a number of interesting items. Among the artifacts kept in the museum were some related to witchcraft, and also items which had come from the Vermont Palace, which was in 1868, and various items of old furniture, including chairs and a bedstead. This portrait of James VI, at the age of 17, was part of the sales too. Well, the sale catalog also lists an antique iron helmet from the Battle of Tuscany and an iron cannonball found on the back of India. A next provenance of some items in Payton's collection raised eyebrows at the antique roadshow. And his souvenir collection from British trade was opened in 1819 may not have been as tiny as ours, because he took things away. And one of British tolls, which is now Glasgow University's Ontario Museum collection, came from Payton's museum in the Thermal. When I'm going back to Glasgow University next week, so please don't ask me to do the details of them bring back to the Thermal.
Well,
what do I think is going to remind you of some of the things that happened in the Thermal, associated with the topic of loyalty, witchcraft and a door. Also to show that the sermon in the 17th century was about more than these things, and we'll hear more about daily life in the sermon this afternoon. Thank you.